Oh my. I think listening to Bob, I don't believe he almost could get through that today. There's something about the grace of God. It grows. It's mighty. Matter of fact, it's the very inheritance of them that are sanctified. Turn to Acts 20:32 this morning. Acts 20:32, Brother Paul, speaking to the elders at Ephesus. This is his farewell. He knows the Lord is calling him home. And he says to them, "And now, brethren, now, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Not speaking of them or anyone else, not the congregation, because he knows what these brethren need for them and for them to ever be able to feed anyone. "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." The inheritance, brothers and sisters, the inheritance. And here is Paul's inheritance. And Paul's inheritance as he is bringing forth, not to me only, but to you. This is your inheritance. This is the inheritance, praise God, of the masterpiece of the word of his grace. And here we have Paul stressing the importance of it. Truly, this could be interpreted. You miss this, and you've missed everything. If you miss this, brethren, you've missed it all. If you don't continue in this, my brethren, you have wasted your life. And here, really understand to whom Paul is speaking. To whom the Spirit has called Paul to speak. These are the elders at Ephesus. This is personal. This is Paul's farewell. The last, most encouraging and vital instruction that he gives to these men that are full of faith, full of believing the bridal message. These are the ones that know the Lord. They have loved the Lord. Had been in Paul's gospel for years. Matter of fact, these were the ones, as Paul said, "I have preached the word continually without ceasing, day and night, for 3 years." These were these same ones. It would be like Paul coming in here and speaking to our elders, to Brother Webb and Brother Bobby and Brother Dean, speaking to Brother Ken and Brother McLam. And thanks be to God, Paul, by the Spirit, came and spoke these same words to them. Just like he's speaking to you right now. These same words, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Now, this is your inheritance. And I'm telling you, this, it's all about your sanctified inheritance. And what Paul is stressing, know it. Know it. Love it. Let it be every beat of your heart. Go after it with everything. Everything that is in you. Your heart, mind, body, and soul. Now, turn on over to Joshua chapter 18. The Lord so faithful. This is Joshua giving out the pattern of God that never changes. The pattern of God and how he chastens us and quickens us the instruction that never moves, in order for any child of God to possess their inheritance. And what we have here in Joshua 18 is, this is Joshua under the hand of God. He is dividing the inheritance of the land that was given to each of the tribes of Israel. And we're in a section of scripture here. We're at the very end of it. As I like to say, the best for last. And here we have come to those last portions. And in a way, I think of us, brothers and sisters, the very last portions, the very best for last. God's great grace to them. And I'll tell you, God's great grace to us. The desire, the patience of God, and the urging for us to take it and to not let it pass us by. In the third verse of the 18th chapter of Joshua, here Joshua says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise, and they shall go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again to me." Now go down to the verse 6. "Ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts and bring that description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God." Do you see that? Here's their inheritance. They've been slack. It's been made known. They've heard about it. The Lord has told them of this. This is yours. This has been given freely to you. But you're slack. And the only way that you're going to inherit what I've given is you got to rise up and you got to go. And you got to go into it. And not just go into it. You need to know it. You need to describe it. To describe it. To see it. Its shape, its form, its beauty, its wealth. Everything about it. I want you to go in there and write it down. Now, look at verses 8 and 9. "And the men arose and went away. And Joshua charged them, they went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into 7 parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host of Shiloh." Oh my, they went in there, didn't they? And they knew it, and praise be to God, they described it. And then, hallelujah, look at verse 10, what transpired right then. "And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions." They were given it. They inherited it. And I think, how incredibly simple, how true, how beautiful, such amazing grace. All they had to do was go in. Go in. Just go in. You've heard about it. It's been preached to you. But if you love it, you're going to have to rise up and go in. And how wonderful to know what has been freely been given to you. And before we proceed, I want you to think about this. They went in and it was described in 7 parts. See, there were 7 tribes that were left to receive these parts of their inheritance, their full inheritance. But think of the word and the number 7. It means perfection. It means completion. Brothers and sisters, this is encouraging to us. See, if you'll rise up and you'll go in, you'll have the perfect and complete inheritance. It'll all be there. But it has to be written in the book. And you know where the book is? It's right here. It needs to be written in here. It needs to be known. It needs to be the very treasure by God's grace of our hearts. I think about people who get so excited about earning something or maybe even winning something. They have this thing called the lotto, and my goodness, the amounts of money. It would be just like you getting the first $1 billion lotto ticket. And you know you got it, but you just let it sit on your shelf. And that is not even worthy to be compared with the glory of the Lord that He has called you to for Himself. That is just filthy rags. All the money of this world is just what moth gets to and rusts and the thief will steal. But this is the very desire, the treasure. The matter of fact, God says the very inheritance of Him is right here. He's invested everything, His Son, everything, Jesus, everything, for you to have this full, complete, exact, a cup full and running over, the wife for my Son. Will you not go in? Will you not run in? Will you not have a heart like Joshua and Caleb? Oh, it's ready. It's ours. It's been given. We're well able to take it. Let's go now. Now, what does it mean to you? He's given us inheritance to be to the fullness and the measure and the stature for Him. That when I see Him, I'll be like Him. For Him. For Him. We have a couple right there getting ready to be married. They're getting ready, preparing all these things. And we can have the event already and all these things, but the greatest preparation for any marriage, because there's no marriage without it, is you must have a heart of a groom and you must have a heart of a bride. You can have a festival, you can have an event, you could have all of the pomp and circumstance there could ever be. But if those hearts aren't prepared, you don't have a thing. Let Him prepare your heart. If I could express the love that He is letting me see right now. Oh, He loves you. This is even more than Joshua calling to them, don't be slack. Don't be slack. I charge you. I charge you. Go in. Go fully in. Don't delay. Let this be written. Let it be known. Let it be cherished. Let it be described upon your heart. See, you don't have to be in this meeting very long. I know there's a couple real sweethearts that have just come into this meeting. We don't have much time. You don't have to be in here very long. You know what this place is about. We don't beat around the bush in here. Jesus loves you. And I mean, He is crazy about you. And He wants a wife. He wants a bride. And most of the church is asleep to this. I'm telling you, because the Word of God tells us this. Told us this from the very beginning. Adam, precious, wonderful, glorious. But there was more. There was going to come a wife. And God didn't just come over there and say, well, how I made Adam, I'm just going to go ahead and pick up some dirt again. I'm going to breathe into it. Oh, no, there was something that was made known and shown. See, Adam represents the church. The church, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. But out from that church is going to come that bride. Out from that little rib portion is going to come that bride. That's where Eve came from, that wonderful rib portion. And you know about that. God didn't need to do it that way. But he had to do it that way because there was a message, there was a proposal that was coming forth from the very breaking of it all. My son is going to have a wife. And he's going to come out of that body. And she's going to come forth, and it's going to be a sleeping body. It's going to be a body that's not even aware of what's going on. That's why God put that sleep upon Adam. He didn't have to put the sleep on him because it hurt him. God could take anything out of you and not hurt you in a moment. This is God we're talking about. He had a sleep come on that man to show us the sleep that is on the church today. And out from among them, I'm going to take her. And she's alive. And she's quickened. And she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Woo! You better pray for me. Oh, I want to go. I do. And I know you feel the same. But it's so marvelous. Now, you come in here and you know that what we're talking about right now, that's Paul's gospel. We're describing it. Isn't that marvelous? Describe it. That's all we do in here. Describing our inheritance. Describing Paul's gospel. Why would I want to describe anything else? I'd be wasting my time. I'd waste your time. But we get in here, praise the Lord, and this is the message for the bride of the Lamb. And there is an exalted rank of righteousness crown. Paul speaks of it in 2 Timothy. Oh, he said, oh, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought that good fight. And now there's therefore that crown. It's laid up for me. I've got it. It's an exalted rank of righteousness. See, there's ranks in that resurrection. There's going to be that company that gives him his full glory. That is his full glory. But Brother Paul said, it's not unto me only, it's unto all them also that love. Oh, love his appearing. And see, he's speaking of in that appearing, brothers and sisters, this exalted rank. See, these are the ones that are in love with the appearing of the bridegroom. Every child of God is in love with the appearing of the Lord. Yes, that's the truth. But this is the appearing of the bridegroom. That's the exalted rank of righteousness crown. That's this one that, praise God, is ready to meet that one. This is that. This is that wonderful Rebecca. She went out from among the people. She was ministered to. Oh, honey, there is a husband waiting for you. And she went out from her people. Yes. And she got onto that camel. And she followed that leading of the Holy Ghost, Eliezer. And she came unto him, that appearing of the bridegroom. Notice all the family didn't go, did they? Just her. Oh, the family got to meet the bridegroom later on. But there was a first meeting, and that was for the wife. Oh, I thank him how he ministers. We're almost there. Almost there. Jesus Christ will have a bride. Oh, yes, he will. And that outcalling, come unto me, is all throughout the scriptures in here. And yes, praise God, I love it. We're describing it. See, you can't receive the inheritance if you can't describe it. That's why that inheritance of the word of his grace to them that are sanctified, set apart, it's not being described. It's not. But I thank the Lord by his grace. You're hearing it today. You're hearing it today. And it's described all through here. Talk about that precious bride for Adam, Eve. And then you get on over there to that wonderful bride for Isaac. Rebecca, there it is. And oh my, can you imagine? All of them Old Testament brides. Oh, whether it's Rahab, whether it's Ruth. See, Boaz, that wonderful story, if you know the Word of God, it said, oh, he's the Redeemer. And he redeemed all that land, all of that wondrous. But it was to take something out of there. I redeemed it all for one thing, so I could have Ruth to be my wife. And then you have the virtuous woman, and then you have the Song of Solomon. Over and over, the Holy Ghost is describing it. And describing it, and describing it. Amen? I mean, this is not to be denied. This isn't something for discussion in that regard. This is truth. This is the word of His grace. Do you see that? Oh, thank the Lord that you can say, oh, I preached the word. Thank you, Jesus. Timothy preached the word. But in that, you preach the word of His grace. His abounding grace. The fullness of His grace. All grace. And this is the result of that. You get that out. You get that one that's drawn out. You get that one that goes unto Him without the camp. Oh, praise His name. It's all over in here. See, that's the inheritance of the sanctified. But just like Israel's inheritance, brothers and sisters, there was a requirement, and there is a requirement to possess your inheritance. It has to be described. That inheritance was sitting there for them, wasn't it? But yet they didn't have it yet. They hadn't possessed it yet. And why did they not possess it? Because they were slack. Why would we be slack? I'm serious. Why would we come in here and just let this pass by? I thank God for anybody who hears the truth, but I'm telling you, man, we've got an inheritance. We've got an inheritance, and it's not even worthy to be compared. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 11 that all those things that were given unto those Old Testament worthies of faith, all of that marvelous promise, all of that inheritance, and yet we have a better thing. A better thing. A better thing. It's just amazing, that better thing. Exceeding great and precious promises. Without us, they cannot be made complete. Think of that. Think of what He's called you to. This inheritance. Jesus. Without describing it. How many times does it say described in here? Did you count them up? Describe it, describe it, describe it. It wasn't just go in there, oh, go look at it and come on back and tell me what you think. Oh, no. Describe it. You must go in there and see it. You must rise up and go before you'll go get it. And understand and know all what has been given to you. How many times does the Word of God just run back to and fro in our hearts? I think about our inheritance. I think so intently, immensely, continually. Galatians 4:1. I mean, that's just, it's just so exact. It's so exact, our inheritance. It says that as the children of God were born a king, a Lord of all, our inheritance is of kings. It's all ours. But if you cannot describe it, if you can't describe it, even though it's been given, even though you've been born to have that, you'll never possess it. You see, it's so true. The Word of God, you talk about a repetitive lover. Over and over and over. How do I love thee? They're infinite. Infinite. Now, brothers and sisters, here we go. We have an outcalling inheritance. Yeah, we do. We're out there. Oh, my. But we've been called to such an out calling. It's even called an out resurrection. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. That word there is ex anastasis. Found one time in the Word of God. That means a resurrection out from the resurrection. Isn't that something? And there's no other way to explain that. There's no other way to explain it. Except there is a bride that's coming out of the body. Every man in his own order. Every rank. Get ready. Huh? Oh, yes. Rebecca, come on. You got to come to the bridegroom. You come on here, honey. You're going to gather with them first. Then we'll bring the family. It's always exact. Never changes. He is so good. He's so good. Listen to him. Listen to his word. Now, the word of God even goes on to tell you in 1 Thessalonians 5. You were not appointed for wrath. You were not appointed. Isn't that wonderful, Ray? We weren't appointed to go into the tribulation, were we, brother? Nope. And you know it. I know you know it. His banner is over me, his love. See, I get this. I get this. It's so exact. It's so precise. I got love banner all over me. And I know he has not appointed me to go into that tribulation. I've got an out calling. There's a sleep, but it ain't for me. Awaken. We're not children of the night. We're not to be slumbering. We're to be awake and alive and rejoicing with one another. And we come in here and we commend one another. Oh, to the word of his grace. We talk about one thing. It's the speak that he's given us, our sanctified inheritance. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Brothers and sisters, we cannot be slack concerning our inheritance. Don't you want it? Oh, I see some hungry hearts in these eyes. As David said, oh, I pant after him. Well, I'll tell you what then. Let's go on describing it. What do you think? Huh? We describing it? We know it, don't we? We were as those three that rose up, brethren. We're as those three that rose up. And we went in. And we're just describing it. I see his raven hair and those eyes. I see his lips. And then he said, oh, but I want you to describe like where Paul went. Oh, he took me, I don't know how to body in body. I don't know. But he took me to that third place. And he gave me a vision of what he wants me to be for him. Amen. He says, oh, honey, I want you to describe that to me. And Paul came back and he said, oh, I glory in that man. I glory in that measure and that stature and fullness. boundaries of that land? Do you know them? Do you know the boundaries? See, they had boundaries. They had Judah on one side and Joseph on the other. But I believe our boundaries are the breadth,
amen,
the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, we come to you and we thank you this morning. And Lord, thank you. You have enlightened the eyes of our understanding to go in. And Lord, you said, possess it all. Walk throughout all the land. Lord, thank you that you've gathered us just as Paul gathered those elders. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And oh, the building of that grace to build us up, that masterpiece of that sanctified, set apart vessel only for the master's use. We thank you. And Lord, we receive it because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Because of that love that your grace by the Holy Ghost has shed abroad in our hearts. That's it. There's no other way to receive this. This can't be by rote. This can't be by mind. This can't be by memory. This cannot be by anything else. But to know those boundaries which are endless. There's no bound to them. But to know the love of Christ. And we give you all the thanks and praise. And may it be today, Father. Would you send him today? Oh, and we give you all the praise and rejoice till we see your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.